We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B giveback benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful, here with a name. You know, the first time we've spoke with him, though, you know him from TNA. You're going to know him from Maple Leaf Wrestling, October 19th and October 20th in Windsor, Ontario. It is a loaded card that I will run down momentarily, but we got Scott DeMore here. Scott, how you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on here, Sean.
I appreciate it. Man, what a show. Just looking down the Maple Leaf Wrestling Twitter, and it's like, oh, Josh Alexander and Takeshita and Phantasmo and Speedball. And then you got Trevor Lee, Stu Grayson, Kushida, Kevin Knight, QT Marshall, Harley Cameron, Rocky Romero, Kylie Ray, Jake something, Rohit Raju, who is confirmed to be at least 63 years old.
At least
Giselle Shaw, Yamashita, Bully Ray, and the former Jinder Mahal, the QPW Championships on the line. First off, I want to ask, how?
How? I don't know. Maybe maybe I'm glutton for punishment. But I spent a good amount of time away from the wrestling business, really, after my departure from TNA. And the reach out when the announcement went out that I was leaving TNA was overwhelming. And I've said this a bunch of times, it was humbling, and I'm not an easy guy to humble. I know that, but it truly was the amount of people, like some of them you expect and some were just wild to hear from. So I was truly touched. And, but I wanted to, I wanted to take a step back and take some time away and evaluate and kind of figure out what should be next. And some of those people that reached out, I just started and asked me what was going on. I just kind of started looking at it. Truthfully, I looked in my text messages the one day and I was like, Keith Mitchell, Tim Walbert,
yep,
Kevin Sullivan, and I just like Josh Alexander, and I just I literally looked at and you look at your screen and I was like, I mean, that's a hell of a wrestling company right there. And, started talking about things and looked at it and figured the fall was a good time. It's far enough away from where everything had transpired at the beginning of the year. It gave me a good break, allowed me to move in some different directions and allowed us to kind of start planning and organizing to come out here and have a real great debut. And I think we've got that together. Like you said, I was, The talent that we have, I think, is second to none. There's talent that reached out that I would have loved to have had, but for one reason or another, a lot of the times it's just being like, we're stacked yeah, for two nights already. So it's just, I'm excited. I love this business. love this business. I always have. I always will, even when I ventured off from it for years after my first run in TNA. You know, it's just that passion and that love, and that doesn't go away. So I'm excited to do this.
I think a lot of people were maybe a little bit surprised by this, because you had mentioned, I think on Busted Open, that you are getting paid effectively to not work. So a lot of people assumed there was some sort of non-compete associated with that. Were there any hurdles in that sense that could have prevented you, or maybe prevent you from being anywhere else? Or are you just able to kind of just do what you want at this point?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, one of the things I wanted to do was to give you an exclusive. And I can tell you this, I had a no compete through January of next year. And I worked out with TNA on friendly terms, and that's officially over.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, the Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling stuff started while my no compete was in place, but as we had discussions and everything else, we kind of worked it out. So I'm in a good spot where, you know, I get all the upsides for the most part that were there for the no compete, and I'm free to kind of move on and do what I want. And I think that a clean break is a good break. And you know, I'm happy to still be able to feature TNA talent on these shows, along with people from AEW and New Japan and Tokyo Joshi Pro, and just, you know, I just think we just have a great roster on camera and behind the scenes for this. So I'm super excited.
And as you mentioned, that was going to be my next question. As somebody who, before you left TNA, helped work on a deal where WWE and TNA started a bit of a talent exchange, how has that been for you, for the gates to sort of open up a little bit? Because there were even some limitations there that you don't necessarily face now that you are running Maple Leaf Wrestling. Because as you mentioned, not only that, the QPW championship is on the line this weekend as well. And they're always booking like big names for their tours as well. Mm-hmm. How has that been for you to sort of have those gates open?
Yeah, look, I think it's been great. I've said for a long time that I think that in wrestling, collaboration is key. And I think that when wrestling companies work together, you know, for a mutually beneficial, you know, outcome, then it's not just a win-win, it's a win-win-win. Both sides win, plus the fans win. So the WWE, you know, stuff that you talked about was great to be involved in. I'm honored to have played a role in that. And, you know, I'm honored for what we have. If you look at traditionally, Maple Leaf Wrestling was one of those places where it was kind of like neutral ground. AWA, NWA, WWWF, everybody came to Maple Leaf Gardens. So with this relaunch with Maple Leaf Pro, I think that it's a great chance to continue that tradition that Maple Leaf Wrestling had back in its previous existence. And with Maple Leaf Pro, we take that and put a new, you know, spin on it here. And we're excited, you know, you've got Takeshita defending the international title that he just won at Wrestle Dream. I mean, yep. That's awesome. You've got Athena, who's unbelievable, defending the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship here. You've got, as you said, Classy Ali and QPW, and we've got some things we're working on in Australia with OPW there. I mean, I just think that, you know, building relationships worldwide give you the opportunity to, like, our mandate here is Canadian wrestling. And if you look at this card, it's about 50%, maybe just slightly more Canadian. But it's a pretty close to even breakdown, because we want to give Canadian talent an opportunity to stand side by side and perform, compete with the best in the world. And we want to do it on a grand stage, right? Like with proper oversight, production, and everything else. So that's our mandate here when you're focused. But then beyond that, with collaboration, we can help give opportunities to our talent here in Australia, Qatar, and other places around the world. And the same goes for there, like having Classy Ali coming and compete here at Forged in Excellence is a great opportunity for him. And I think as we build this relationship, like the Pro Wrestling Alliance that we announced a couple months ago, I think will grow, and you'll see it start to take shape over 2025. And it's an opportunity to give people outside of the U.S. Because in the U.S., like, you, if you're going to be a star, you almost have to be in the U.S. And to get into the U.S. as a wrestler, there's a giant hurdle when it comes to immigration. And events like this and collaboration and building that portfolio is what's going to help talent overcome that hurdle. And we look to be a huge part of that.
As you had mentioned, ROH title, AEW title are both on the line there. What is the process of getting that approved or requesting that? What sort of steps do you need to go through in order to make something like that occur?
You know, I've had a good relationship with AEW over a lot of years, just like I have with most companies out there. And it was a matter of going there. And when we approached about having AEW talent on the show, we made the talent requests, Athena being one of them. And, you know, it was a pretty simple request to have the title. I think they looked at it and saw Giselle Shaw, worthy opponent. And a great opportunity to showcase the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship, you know, kind of outside of that box. So the getting it made a title match was pretty seamless. And then I'll be honest with you, with the international title and Takeshita, I mean, it came together pretty quick. Like, Takeshita won the title, and it was almost like, would you be interested in something like this? So that's what I really love. It's, you know, having collaboration like that. And I mean, obviously, someone says, hey, do you want one of the hottest stars in wrestling right now, who's already appearing on your show, to defend this newly won title where he just beat arguably the, you know, the greatest wrestler on the planet right now between those ropes and Will Ospreay on your show? Like, yeah, I think we're okay with that.
And we had also mentioned you booking TNA talent. Considering you had an exit from there, are you going directly to someone in particular for TNA? Are you discussing it with the wrestler and then they get approved? How is that relationship?
You know, I talked about it with the talent, which is often, you know, the first step. And, you know, we kind of talked through a lot of the stuff with the talent. And then eventually, as it came to it, we had to take a look and deal with it company to company, which we did. And, you know, gratefully, we're able to, you know, work it out and have the talent appear. Because I think it's, you know, I think it's good for their talent as well. We've got a great mix of talent here from a lot of different companies. And I don't see a downside to the talent being here and on this platform. If I was still sitting in the chair as the president of TNA Wrestling, this is the type of event. It's similar to when we would send people out to a New Japan event or whatever else. It's an event that's got some prestige and some you know, buzz, as they like to say in the wrestling world. So why not have your talent front and center on that?
Toronto is my home away from home. Love it there. When I was there, I didn't get to go to the ROH show at the Maple Leaf Gardens, but I got to interview Shane Taylor there. Had to see Maple Leaf Gardens in person. Are there places outside of Windsor that you're specifically looking at and you're like, I want to run there. I want to run there. It's not like you're inexperienced in doing this. You know the territory pretty well.
Yeah, and I mean, look, you touched on it. Maple Leaf Gardens was the home to Maple Leaf Wrestling for its entire existence, right? That's where the major shows for the most part happen, with few exceptions when they'd move out to the old exhibition stadium for real big events. But like, I think a return there is important. I mean, Maple Leaf Gardens in its old form as a 17,000 seat arena doesn't exist, but the exterior still looks the exact same. It still has that marquee that says Maple Leaf Gardens, where, you know, the names like Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes and Bruno Sammartino and Whipper Watson and everything else hung, you know, as it promoted the wrestling. And inside that building, it still has that same iconic yellow brick. There's a 3,000 seat hockey arena that's tailor-made for wrestling. Like you said, Ring of Honor did it. And I think that, you know, really returning to Maple Leaf Gardens is a huge step for us. And it's a celebration of the rebirth of the Maple Leaf brand, right? From, it's the bridge from Maple Leaf Wrestling to Maple Leaf Pro or Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling, is the pivot point there of bringing pro wrestling in a major way back to Church Street, back to Maple Leaf Gardens, because regardless of what the building is officially called, because like everything else, it's sponsored by, you know, Mattamy Homes. It's the Mattamy Entertainment Complex. But in our heart and the hearts of so many fans is it's still Maple Leaf Gardens. And that's why, I don't know if you've been there, Sean, but you go in the grocery store, which is the main floor, you mm-hmm. still have the center ice dot, right? You yes. still have where the ring used to be. And that's one of those things when you're in Toronto, is people still go to that aisle and take that picture at center ice. So bringing Maple Leaf Pro to Maple Leaf Gardens is top priority for us, and is high on our list for 2025.
Plus, you have Rohit Raju, who wrestled for Frank Tunney in 1939 at the original Maple Leaf Gardens. So, I mean,
yeah, he had that night where he had Watson on the ropes, and
yeah,
nobody thought Whipper
it's
Watson
close.
Was going to make it out that night. And
things sure would be different.
Wow, think about the different the ripples through wrestling history.
Here in Lexington, Kentucky, we have a far less famous place, but you all actually ran TNA there, the Lexington Ice Center. But attached to it, and a lot of the wrestlers on the card didn't even know this, we have what's called Jesus Golf, which is like 54 holes of Bible-themed mini golf. It is, like, I'm not a religious guy, but you don't realize how fun the Bible is until you've golfed through it. Perhaps a little less prestigious of a venue than Maple Leaf Gardens. What are your goals with Maple Leaf Wrestling? Because, I mean, listen, we have seen Black Label Pro went on hiatus. Mission Pro, a little bit of a hiatus right now. PWG on hiatus. So there is a big gap in independent wrestling right now as well. But is it something that you want to grow well beyond that? Or how are you feeling right now?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's we got to crawl before we can walk, and walk before we can run. But I think our mandate is to run top quality, top produced wrestling shows that give Canadian talent a chance, like I said, to be featured along with the best in the world, and to also build a larger scene through the PWA. With like currently it's QPW in Qatar and OPW in Australia, but you know, we're open to and will look for like-minded partners where the mindsets align, and be able to build a worldwide platform for talent to perform on, to be able to build their portfolios. So I think being a national wrestling company is key for us. Like, Canada hasn't had that in years. And I think having something that's truly Canadian and truly our own, and the idea eventually would be to feature talent from BC to Newfoundland and everything in between. And will we look at running, you know, other places? Like, obviously Ontario is always going to be a core, and it was with the original Maple Leaf Wrestling. But I think there's great opportunities, and we've had people reach out from everything from the West Coast all the way to the Maritimes, and we'll evaluate that with time, but we are looking to get out there and seeing what we can do as we grow. And I think that we'll be judged in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years with not just the great content that we put out featuring Canadian talent, but what type of launching pad we are for careers, right? I want the next generation of Canadian talent to have not just the opportunity of the past, but an even better one than what Bobby Roode, Eric Young, Tracy Brooks, Gail Kim, you know, and so many of the people had. It was such a struggle to get noticed in Canada. And we're very proud of what Border City Wrestling and other companies like it were able to do. But our attachment to Edge, Christian, all these people who performed here on their way up, we want to continue that, but do it on a grander scale. And I think if we can use the changes in modern wrestling, like back in the 90s and the early 2000s, it was television or nothing. And now with the internet and social media and streaming, it opens up so many opportunities. So, you know, the mandate is very clear: Canadian-based, Canadian-themed wrestling, featuring great Canadians and fostering and developing them, and doing that by featuring wrestlers from around the world, both at the very peak of their in-ring career, like Takeshita and that, and mixing in a good group of veterans that can provide that that experience and mentor some of the guys. So, you know, I think it's going to be a great 2 days here this weekend, October 19th.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back
to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
If you want jazz music, go to New Orleans. Bagels, New York. And for psychics, think California Psychics. You want the best, you go to the best. At California Psychics, home of free spirits and open minds, we know better than anyone what makes a good psychic. That's why we guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And 20th on Triller TV, you know, you can order the pay-per-view each night. You can order individually for $20 if you just want to see one or the other. If you want to see both, it's $30 for 6 hours of great wrestling content over 2 days. And I've made this promise before, and I'll make it again. If you plop down $30, you buy this pay-per-view, you watch those 2 nights, and if you don't like it, then reach out, because if you don't think you got your money worth, we'll refund it.
That's incredible. I mean, headlined by Takeshita and Josh Alexander. I mean, as soon as that was announced, a lot of people were very, very excited. And of course, guys, go to MLPWrestling.com as well. But there's just so much good stuff on this show. And you'd mentioned Border City Wrestling as well. There's some talent that's been featured on there as well. So it's not just all the names that I mentioned. It's a whole lot of names that people are going to learn as well. But very excited for these shows. I do have some like procedural questions for you from your time at TNA. Just things that I've wondered.
Sure.
Jeff Jarrett and Christian, they're able to use their TNA themes in AEW. When I ask people in AEW, they go, yeah, TNA's just kind of chill about it. How was that allowed? I mean, these were things that were established in TNA, and it's not something we always see.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're two unique situations. The Christian one, they actually debuted Christian with a like a knockoff of our knockoff, if you want to call it that. And after the first night of using it, I was actually there in Jacksonville, you know, at the after show thing with TK one night. I just said, yeah, like he was like, well, what'd you think? And I was like, that's great. I go, just you know, why'd you just ask? We'd let you use the theme. So it was like, literally, I was still sitting at the table when I got a request in my email for it. So we facilitated that one. And then the Jeff Jarrett one was unique in the sense that that's been Jeff's music really since he left WCW. He used it in TNA.
It's a meme at this point. Yeah. The Bree Woo. It's a meme on the internet at this point.
Yeah. So Jeff, when he was debuting there, reached out to me and we chatted a little bit, and I reached out to Ed Nordholm and we had a conversation. And, you know, like Jeff has a pretty long storied, you know, history with Impact TNA wrestling. And, you know, Ed and I were like, you know what, like what's the downside to letting him use this theme, that like we're not using that theme for somebody other than like you're not assigning that theme to somebody else. And it was a nice way to say, because you know Jeff had his departure from the company, and you know, like thankfully he's in a great amazing spot now, but you know, and it's in some tough times, and what a great way to say, hey, like, you know, like God bless, like go kick ass with, you know, what you're doing now, than to say, yeah, go ahead and use that theme. So to me, it's the same as like when EC3 was leaving here early on in my tenure, or leaving, I should say, Impact, not here. You know, in my tenure, it's like Ed and I chatted about it, and why not let him, you know, take the EC3 moniker with them. Again, it's not Mexico. We're not assigning a new wrestler to play, you know, the character EC3. And our thought process was partially like, well, one, there's no downside to it. And maybe there's an upside, right? Because if they make a wrestler, whether it's EC3 or otherwise, if they make Sean Ross Sapp, they go and they go, hey, well, we need to change his name. It's because Maple Leaf Pro owns it, right? Like Impact owned it. And if you go, hey, like use your name, and the talent can show up and say, hey, here's the rights to Sean Ross Sapp. And you go there and you become a massive star. Well, our archive just becomes more valuable. So really there's no downside to it, and there's a potential upside, as well as the goodwill of getting the investment from talent of saying, hey, I'm really going to invest in building this name, this brand, because I'm going to be able to carry it on with me. So yeah, like I said, the Jeff and Christian one's unique. Both are such important characters in TNA's history. Jeff is the founder, that's never changing, and I mean somebody who's been instrumental in my career and that I consider a mentor and a friend. And Christian, who's a guy who I broke in with and is the guy I'll always say in history, when you look at it for TNA, the first person to ever say, I'm leaving WWE of my own merit to go to TNA is Christian. And without him, I think you don't have the cascade from there that you have with what TNA was able to build and grow to.
Yeah, and the Christian theme was definitely, it was inspired by his WWE theme to begin with. So when AEW did theirs, it was like a knockoff of something inspired by his original one, which the original one has also been redone, which I was told Vince specifically changed that because he didn't want a heel to have females singing their theme song, or baby faces rather, baby faces. So go figure, go figure. The AEW partnership is one that, I mean, I enjoyed. I was at Slammiversary 2021, I think it was. I still got one of Sammy Callahan's thumbtacks sitting up here on my display somewhere. But how was that partnership for you? There's a lot of people that feel certain ways about it one way or another.
Excuse me. Look, I mean, I think that you look at that partnership at the time. You know, Impact was really struggling to gain traction. We were doing our damnedest and you know, putting out everything we could, but really struggling to find ourselves. And getting, you know, Kenny Omega as Impact World Champion and getting the Good Brothers featured over there on their show. And you look at it from a business point of view, the two Kenny pay-per-views were two of the three highest pay-per-views that the company had at that point. And then even the one with Christian when he came in was also like pretty high when it came to the amount of buys. So there was definitely a lift in business. There was a lift in viewership on the TV, a massive lift in social views, and more importantly, in monetization. Like anything that was Kenny Omega monetized well. And I've said this a couple times before. I think Kenny got a bad rap in the sense that, you know, the plan from day one was not for Kenny to lose the belt directly. You know, Kenny would have. Kenny wanted to. He wanted to work with Eddie Edwards. He wanted to work with Josh Alexander, but there were some restraints there. And then the other thing was is, and he's never talked about it. And I'll talk about it. He was in such immense pain at the time. Like there was times when Kenny could barely walk, and the amount of work that it took just to get him able to go to the ring and perform. And I cite one example. Kenny was supposed to come to Nashville when we were filming in Skyway. And he was just in so much pain and so banged up, he just couldn't travel. So we came up and talked about it and giving him a week because of the tape delay, whatever it was, a week or so, or 10 days, whatever it was, to kind of heal up enough. And then we filmed it in Jacksonville at Daily Place. And Kenny, even just getting, and that was his title defense against Moose, Kenny's Impact World title defense against Moose. So one, I thought it was cool that we got to go shoot at a different location and got to have Tony Schiavone, who's a legend, call the match. Like, I'll be honest, hey, personally, the AEW relationship was cool because I got to call a match on TNT with JR, and I got to call a match on our show with Tony Schiavone. But overall, I mean, I think the relationship had its positives, including that. But to get back to the thing, Kenny was so banged up. I think they probably worked on him for 90 minutes. To get him just My capable God. Of going to the ring to wrestle. And I'll just never forget afterwards, Kenny almost like being frustrated and apologizing almost, because it wasn't the match he wanted to have with Moose. Like, he really wanted to give Moose a special kind of match. And I think they had a very good world title match, you know, like good, excellent world title match. But Kenny doesn't like excellent. He wants great. Yes. He wants legendary, right? So look, hats off to Kenny on everything he did for us and the AEW relationship. Did it have its hindrance as far as for what some of the restraints were? Sure. And that's why it ultimately had to end. But while we were doing it, there's no question from a financial point of view, it had its benefits. And there's no question that when it came to eyeballs, buzz, and legitimacy, it certainly helped. So, you know, somebody's going to watch this and say, hey, Demore's kissing up because he's doing business with AEW. But I said the same thing when we weren't doing business with AEW it's hard for a company at their level to work with other companies, and there's always going to be restraints. But I think overall, like, what were we supposed to do? Not do the relationship with AEW
during the pandemic.
Right. I think that wrestling is evolving and growing, and I think the AEW relationship was good for Impact, and I think it helped Kenny with his storyline there and helped AEW. I think that the current, you know, TNA relationship with WWE is a great one and is mutually beneficial, and it's one of the reasons why, you know, like, I reached out about initiating that relationship. And I think, you know, what they've built there now since I've left, I think has shown to have benefits for both sides.
A couple more before we go, and a reminder, everybody, check out MLPWrestling.com. Let's talk about an even bigger partnership. Talking Chop-a-Mania. I could not believe what I was watching any of the times. And like, I would reach out to, you know, those fellas, and you could tell how much fun they were having, but they were legitimately stressed out, which is hilarious to me that they were stressed out producing that. But was as that unfolds, as it's getting pitched and as it happens, is any part of you like, is this a good idea? Or are you just like, why the hell not?
You know what? The Good Brothers have really carved out a niche for themselves. And
they ever.
The idea that first pay-per-view was just, you know, the fact that it was COVID and it was shot at Gallo's house. Like, first of all, hats off to his wonderful wife, Beth, for allowing, like, the house to be overran with wrestlers. And then the best part is Gallo's took a gig on heels and wasn't even around for half the shooting. Like, we had to shoot without Gallows, who was supposed to be the mastermind behind the thing. But it was, man, it was a hoot, legitimately, like, no pun intended. It was fun. It was quirky. It was weird. It was, you know, it was everything that the Talking Shop, you know, should be. And it's what their fan base expects to see, that parody, goofy craziness and all of that. And it was fun to shoot. Like, it was a crazy long, you know, couple of days, but it was a lot of fun to shoot. And at a time during the pandemic, when there, you needed something to distract yourself, it, you definitely, at the end of that thing, you sat there and went, what the F did I just watch?
And one I've always wondered, because she is also a person I would love to interview in the future, what was the relationship with you or TNA or anybody like with Dixie Carter once she sort of hit the bricks? Was there ever any communication back and forth? I know she still talks to some talent here and there, but was there any like even a loose connection or discussion?
Look, Dixie was the president when I first came in here, and you know, came into TNA in 2003, I think, early 2003, and, you know, worked with her for many years. You know, was part of that interesting dynamic that if you ever want to hear about, you can check out Jeff Jarrett's podcast. He's got some really interesting podcasts about the political dynamics in the TNA office. But Dixie was, you know, she gets slagged a lot. And, you know, you can sit there and say, hey, some of it's justified. There's one thing that is certainly an indisputable fact, and that's Dixie loved TNA wrestling. And everything that Dixie did, she was trying to do what she thought was best for TNA wrestling. And also Dixie has a heart. Like, I'll tell the story. Like I was in the Nashville office one day when I got a phone call, and my father had I can't remember if it was a heart attack or a stroke. And I mean, I was just shaking. And when I walked back into the room, Jeff could tell right away. And he's like, "What's wrong?" And I was choked up and I could barely get the words out. And he's like, "Go see Bob Ryder, who did our travel." And he's like, "Get home." Dixie followed me out of the office door as I was going to Bob's office from the conference room. And she goes, "Don't worry about having Bob book you a ticket. My dad's jet's in town. It'll fly you anywhere you need to go."
Oh, wow.
So that type of commitment to the people around here is commendable, right? Like, there's no reason for her to have to do that. But that was her first thought without even hesitation. So I'll always appreciate that type of kindness. And then also, like, look, there was a story one time, Kenny, when he was carrying when he had all the titles, didn't like to carry the belts. So they put him on the production truck. And when Kenny had to fly to Nashville, I think it might've been for that Slammiversary. The belts were actually somewhere on the highway in one of the production trucks and not near the back.
Oh no.
So we had to, we had to, like, figure it out. So what we ultimately ended up doing is Dixie had a replica, like a perfect replica. Like,
oh,
it was
wow.
One of the original TNA world titles. And I sent some folks to her place, and she met two people she had never seen before, as they said, with like the warmest hugs, and you know, like, chatted with them and handed over the belt. Cause you know, we were able to find a copy of the one belt, but we couldn't find the other. And Dixie ultimately ended up providing it. So I enjoyed being able to be the facilitator at that Slammiversary show in Nashville at the fairgrounds a couple of years ago, where we took that photo of Ed Nordholm, Billy Corgan, and Dixie Carter,
yes,
together. I thought that was a cool shot to kind of say, "Hey, it's business, and sometimes business doesn't go great and it doesn't end great."
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that there can't still be a future with respect for each other. And that photo meant a lot to me. You know, because I've dealt with all three of them. You know, Dixie and Ed certainly more than Billy, but I thought it was great to have all three of them there and take that photo. And at the time, those were your three, you know, TNA presidents in history. So I thought that was pretty cool. So, like, to me, Dixie's always been a friend of the house. And you know, like, you can knock Dixie for some of her stuff running the company, and fans do, and that's their right. But anyone who thinks Dixie did anything other than what she thought was best is mistaken on that. And she did some good. Let's be honest. TNA wrestling does not make it out of 2003 without Dixie Carter.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a TNA wrestling fan today, you owe at least an appreciation for what Dixie did and her belief in the company. And, you know, and she used all of her efforts for all the years she was here to try to make it as good as she can make it. So.
And she rarely tweets, but even to this day, like 80% of them are wrestling tweets, which I think is amazing. Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling, Forged in Excellence, October 19th and 20th, two nights. You can watch it on Triller TV, and it's at St. Clair College in Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Scott D'Amore, thank you so much. It's been a long time coming. Glad we finally got to do this.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Let's do it again in the future. Thanks, man.
Indeed. Until next time, guys, we're out. And I think it ended. I think.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Save big money on all your projects at Menards. Water seeping into your cracks in your concrete can cause costly damage over time. Keep water out and extend the life of your concrete with a tube of ready-to-use concrete repair. It's commercial grade, durable, flexible, and works great for gaps and cracks up to 3/8 inch. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno can make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.